the Lord wants to introduce himself to us on a regular basis, like he introduced himself to the prophet Isaiah here in the passage. And he's faithful to do that. He's holy, holy, holy all the time. His glory fills the whole earth, so no matter where we are, we have a chance to have worship of God or fellowship with him. And so putting ourselves in Isaiah's shoes a little bit and seeing what God did for him, he will do for us. So the first thing Isaiah does, he's grieving and is sad because King Uzziah has died. Uzziah was a good king in the Old Testament, ruled for about 40 years. That's a long time in anybody's calendar. And, you know, Isaiah, being somebody of responsibility, might have had a relationship with Uzziah. So he lost a king. He lost somebody who he probably prayed for a lot and maybe had conversation with. And so he's broken because of the great loss for him and for the nation. And, you know, in our lives, if you just think at the times of sadness or grief in your own life, it's beneficial if you invite God to those places and to those memories and say, God, help me trust that you were holy, holy, holy there to bring me through that. And I wasn't destroyed. Okay, but you were with me. And so ask God to honor himself through the times of loss and sadness that you're going to feel as a human being. So Isaiah, he knew sadness, but he saw God. And Isaiah sees the Lord, and things start to get put right in his heart. You know, when we know that God is right around us, which he is all the time, we start to get our heart settled and our mind in a good place. An old scientist said, Lord, help us in our thoughts think God's thoughts after himself. You should Google that. I think Kepler may have been the fellow who said that. But that God can touch our minds, he can touch our mouths. And primarily that was Isaiah felt a need for that. So he sees that things aren't right. He hears God say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, sometimes we think, well, holiness is here, and God somehow, he got up to holiness, so let's call him holy, you know, as if holiness is something apart from him. No, he's God, and he's the standard for all goodness and righteousness and holiness. So it's the holiness that he shares with us that's the key to, you know, living life like he created us to live. And it's quite wonderful. So he's altogether good, altogether righteous. There's no wrong in him. There's nothing crooked about God. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And some Bible teachers would say, well, he's saying at that point, not only he's holy all the way, but Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. God three in one is the Lord God Almighty. It's totally unique from the God from the Bible. And Isaiah, he realizes his sin, and he falls apart. He says, I have unclean lips. I'm a guy with a foul mouth, and I live around people of unclean lips, people with a foul mouth. And that's what brings an awareness of his need before God, in addition to his sadness. There's a retired pastor in Pittsburgh whose life before and after trusting Christ is kind of like Isaiah's. He said when he was a young adult, he pretty much cussed and cursed every other sentence. Okay, that was his background. And he said that was the way he felt like he was going to be a man, you know. Limited vocabulary, you use those words, you know, tied into anger and so forth. But so he's cussing and cursing, and he works with an older man for a summer job. And the older man's a Christian, and the Christian fellow says to him, hey, when you're around me, don't swear because I'm a Christian. Okay? And the young fellow says, well, I'm a Christian too. You know? And the older man says, well, what makes you think you're a Christian? He says, because I believe in God, and I live in a nation that has a lot of churches. And the older man said, yeah, that doesn't make you a Christian. He says, when you're a Christian, he says, you're into Christ like a football player is into football. Okay, and this younger fella, he was a sports fan. So that made sense to him, you know, because he knew what it was like to just say, oh, I'm all out for this. So he got the message that to be a Christian is to say, well, Christ means everything to me. Can't hardly get him off my mind, you know, or off my heart. I constantly feel like I want to talk to him, and so on. And so it was the foul mouth of this guy that was kind of the catalyst for him hearing what a Christian was. And the older fellow shared with him, hey, God, you know, he loves you. He died on the cross in your place. Before that, the young man thought, oh, he just died on the cross. I don't know. You know, that was a sad thing. But he heard that Jesus died for him. So he eventually 2 years later, put his faith in Christ. And so sometimes when God shows you a big sin problem in your life, or where there's a lot of rebellion against Him, it could be the beginning of you turning to God and say, hey, He's holy, holy, holy. I want to be following Him like anybody follows their most important one. So Isaiah's life has changed, starting with his foul mouth, you might say. And then he's forgiven by God, and he's sent. God actually sends an angel to touch his mouth and says, your guilt, just to quote it correctly here, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. What a great thing. You know, how many people that you know would love to hear those words? Maybe haunted by a guilty conscience, or, you know, things are just out of place in your life. And God comes and tells you, your sin is taken away. And your sin is atoned for. Your guilt's taken away. You would be a glad person. And that's what happens when you trust Christ. God would come and tell you that good news, you know, in your soul. So Isaiah needed a clean heart and a clean mouth, and only God could give it to him. And we want to learn from him. And since the Lord started with Isaiah's mouth, we'll look at the mouth a little bit from the book of Proverbs. I'm sure Isaiah knew the book of Proverbs. It's an Old Testament book. Solomon wrote about 40 verses out of the book of Proverbs have to do with godly speech versus sinful speech. So that's a lot of info. Here's a few. In Proverbs it says, God mocks proud mockers. Now, to mock somebody is to kind of put them down in a funny way. Beyond maybe in your family, you do that out of love. But you know when you're mocking somebody to kind of beat them down. And I grew up, this was a way of us sparring with others. You know, if not physically, then verbally, we would do this. And it can easily tie over into living as a Christian. I remember as a young person, I think I mentioned before, Don Rickles was kind of a hero of mine. He was a comedian. And his big ballywick, his big hobby was just putting people down left and right and left and right. And I could do that for you if you'd like, you know. But you don't want that. That's bad. Okay, that's bad that I would do that. It's a sin against God. God says you live like that, then He'll put us down. He'll put us down. And later in Proverbs, violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. How often we say things that are meant as attacks on others, it's a painful thing. When words are many, sin is not absent. We can find this to be true. If we're rambling on and on and on and on, there's something. There's a lack of godliness there in that. With his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. So it's not just I'm going to go and take a shot at my neighbor or blow his house up. I can be trying to do that with what I say. And that's destructive. Another rebuke, a gossip betrays a confidence. Gossip is news that could be true or not true, but it's meant to put a person down, you know. I'll tell you all the details about his sin or her sin. You know, and it's amazing how much you watch the, we do it, and it plays itself out in the news that we watch on a regular basis. Do a little analysis of how much of the news is basically gossip about the people they're reporting about. You know, it's like, ooh, did I really need to hear that, you know? And gossip hurts four people when we do that. It hurts the speaker because they're showing that they're against people made in God's image. Hurts the speaker, hurts the person spoken against. It hurts the hearer. So now I got a headache because the guy gossiped and I'm like stepped in the mud. And it hurts God's spirit. Okay, so it impacts four like that. And it's something God can get away, get that out of our soul so we become people who build others up as opposed to putting them in a bad light. You know, love covers sin. It doesn't magnify the sin. Okay, and every time you repeat even a truth about somebody, did you know so-and-so, you know, they have 8 speeding tickets, you know. I don't tell that to 5 of my friends so they know what kind of person you're like. You're basically tearing people down, which is an ungodly thing. And then, of course, he who loves a quarrel loves sin. This is a big one. First one and last one on the screen there, it was habitual for me on a regular basis. And with God's help, I have to watch. I don't get back into that. When I was a... this is the last one. When I was a young Christian, I loved to quarrel with people so that they would believe in God. Guess how many people I directed to the Lord? Right? 0. Okay, with that. So, present the truth because of our love as opposed to, let me show how stupid you are. To love a quarrel is to love sin. And again, let me encourage you to repent with me. Some of my favorite TV news programs is when we have, you know, Mr. Jones over here and Mrs. Jones over there. And then they're going to talk about their views on something. And then they start talking and they talk over each other, you know, and it gets louder and louder. And I'm thinking, this is fantastic. You know, this is, meanwhile, you get no truth out of it, neither of them most of the time. But, to not love a quarrel because that means you love sin. And, to watch the self-praise thing, unbecoming to a person. Again, good for the culture to know that. And to realize no man can tame the tongue. Okay? No man can tame the tongue. We need God's help. And you think about Isaiah. If God just cleaned his mouth up, you know, that's good. But he had the rest of his life to deal with. And I thought, if the Lord would just judge each one of us on what we said, that would be enough evidence, or what we failed to say that was true. That'd be enough evidence there to condemn us. But he wants us to talk in a way that honors him because it reflects what's in our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth flows. And it reminds us that no matter what happens to us in the future, that nothing can be added to what the Lord would do for Isaiah and what Jesus would do for us. Nothing could be added to that. You know, it's his work of atonement. It's him saying, your guilt is taken away. No merit can be added to his cross. So even though Isaiah wrote 66 chapters, he might have fed, you know, 2,000 hungry people. That doesn't add to his salvation. Jesus alone is his salvation. And all those other good things, they're praises to God. So God gets all the honor in terms of the salvation. He touches Isaiah at his most corrupt point. And he could do that for us, whether it's our mouth, our mind. My mom would wash my mouth out with soap when I was little. Guess what? It didn't help. I just made sure she didn't hear me the next time. So God has to wash our soul, wash our mind. You know, give me a clean mind. Only God could do that. And at the point we feel most filthy, God will help us. And he could touch our sin, clean up the mess, and set us right like he did Isaiah. And here's just a couple practical things to put in our soul. When Isaiah was weak, or when you and I are weak, God can be strong in your life. He was strong. So you give your weakness to God, and he can make that a strength. God will meet you in whatever area of filth you have. You think of Handel's Messiah. Beautiful, you know, song and a lot of praise. Most of those words came from who? Came from the book of Isaiah. So here's one of the most foul-mouthed guys ever writing something that praises God, and people are singing those words for centuries. You know, so how great God can do to take something dirty, make it clean, and have it be clean. We see this time again in the Bible, taking Matthew. He was greedy and corrupt. He became a gospel writer, telling good news. The Apostle Paul and Nicodemus, proud, you know, self-righteous guys, God changed their heart to trust God instead. You have the immorality above certain people. God makes them lovers of folks, respectful. And to remember, Lord, speak to us about our need. Don't be afraid to say, I'm falling apart because of my sin. Because this is what hurts us the most. And it's so great that, you know, that God can bring help to sin. We face all kind of problems physically in our lives. Sometimes there's no help. There's just perseverance. But with a sin problem, you know, God can help with that. He's not going to make you perfect, but he's going to make you walk in his ways more than just being weighed down every time. You know, I was born with a foul mouth. I'm going to die with a foul mouth. It's not that way. And the Lord's merciful. And then to remember that God in his glory is always present where you are. Favorite verses in the Bible for us, you know. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So he's beyond comparison. And then the whole earth is full of his glory. So when I'm in church, right before us, his glory. When I'm out in the on the street, the glory of God. In the school, you know, in the place where shopping happens, God's glory fills the whole place. And we could say, oh, it's a good time to know God. It's a good time to turn to him in whatever painful need you and I really do have. So we're going to close in prayer. You put yourself in Isaiah's shoes and have God come and bring that forgiveness we need. Maybe he'll say to us, like he said through that song, I love you. But he'll say, your guilt is taken away and your sin is covered. That's what atone for means, to cover, to send away. Let's pray together. Lord, you're holy all the time, and we're so glad because you bring a change to our soul. So we come with various parts of filth or dirt. We say, we know where to go. And this will destroy us unless you come and help us. So you just send your help. Send the news through Jesus. We're loved. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is covered. We do put our trust in you for this. We're not going to try to wash ourselves off. But you can make us clean. And then you sent Isaiah to work with you. And what a good calling, even though he didn't have it easy at all. But bless each one here with closeness to yourself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.